Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper. Coming to you from the Golden One, where, of course, the Kings are getting ready to take on the Washington Wizards. And we just talked to Glenn Kuntzer. You say he's an analyst?
Yeah, analyst for Wizards Radio, yes.
And it was very interesting, where basically he said, he was saying, look, we're not very good, right?
Yeah. You can't put lipstick on a pig, right?
Right.
Whole world
we're a young
knows
team,
it.
And we've all, you know, if you're an NBA fan, chances are you've been there at one time or another with your team. But we have this from on the chat here. James Knight says this is a total trap game for the Kings.
I think it is. We've been talking about this, right? You got the Celtics looming up, coming up on Wednesday. You got this tough three-game stretch. And so I think, to me, this is a statement kind of game. This will tell us a lot about the Sacramento Kings tonight. They handled their business against Utah. I like how they were focused and dialed in for that game. The Wizards, they're a team that comes in 4-21. You know, they don't do anything particularly, you know, eye-catching. They got a couple of scorers, guys that can go off, yes. Mm-hmm. But this isn't leading SportsCenter tonight. This is not going to be the top game of the night in the association. And so how do you come a Monday, rainy in Sacramento, you know, it's cold out, you know, what kind of effort do you give tonight against this Wizards team?
Is there any sense, do you think, for the Kings of maybe not a hangover, but, you know, Saturday was so special and so great.
Right.
Is it tough sometimes to start over the next night?
Well, we saw that last week, 2 weeks ago against the Warriors, when they beat the Warriors, and then that was emotionally draining. I think this is a different kind of feel because that game was taxing, took a lot out of you. This, the game that we just had the other night against the Jazz. Yeah, this is one of those games where you can't wait to get back out on the floor and see if you can continue that hot play. See if Keon can go for another 40-point game. And so I think you'll see an inspired Sacramento team. I expect, you know, I don't want to do the announcer's jinx, but it would not surprise me to see the Sacramento Kings get up early in this game by double digits.
Earlier today, we talked to Kenyon Murray, Keegan's dad. Kyle lined that up for us. And it was interesting. He was talking about watching the game Saturday with his family. And I think he said it was his daughter that at one point said, "What the hell is going on?" That's a quote. So a lot of people were taken by surprise, of course, by Keegan's huge night. And after the game, I know you guys played this on your post game. We talked about it earlier. But this was in the Warriors postgame. The Warriors also played Saturday. They started earlier than the Kings, so they were done while the Kings were still playing. And Steph Curry, when he was talking with the media, somebody asked him about the big night that Keegan was having, and Steph couldn't believe it. And here's what that sounded like Saturday night.
Up in Sacramento tonight, Keegan Murray started 12 of 13 from three. Yeah, in the first three quarters. You've hit 13 in game four. It's still going on.
He got hit with it. Clay hypothetically had 18 in Chicago if he would have stayed in the game. And is it still going on?
Well, just how
he's
difficult.
Still at, this is dope. He's still at 12?
I think so.
Pull it up, Anthony. Come on. Yes.
How would you just describe that record just in terms of its difficulty to achieve? You know, you and Clay have both been up there.
When somebody, the team knows you're hot, they're going to start to shade your way, take, you know, your looks away. You got to sustain that over the course of the game. 12 or 13 is nuts.
He's 12 for 14 right now.
He's getting them up. He's getting them up. How much time's left?
5 minutes.
Stay tuned.
Sorry.
No, but we'll see.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? I think at one point he was telling Anthony Slater, "Anthony, come on, get the game up." And then when he left, Steph said, "I got to go watch," because that's one of his, records in jeopardy there.
Yeah, and
or Clay's record.
Clay's record, yeah. But for Steph Curry, you know, top 2, 3, 4, 5 in terms of marketing personality in the NBA, to be that interested in what our guy Keegan Murray, that's pretty cool, man.
It is.
That's pretty cool, and
it is.
And it was a genuineness to it too, you know.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't fake or anything like that. Like, he genuinely was amazed at what Keegan was doing. And, you know, we're talking, you know, only a second-year player. You know, I mean, for him to have 47, like, how many second-year players in your career hit that mark?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Historically.
I have to look that up with Michael might have approached that. Maybe Bron.
Maybe Bron, you know.
Might have come close.
Right.
It's a good question. I bet you Wilt did.
Oh, yeah, right. In his first game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
First game, Kareem, you know,
yeah.
Guys
yeah.
like that. Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that really stood out to me, this is just basketball, I know, but it was really cool the way, once it was apparent, especially in that third quarter, that Keegan was so just blisteringly hot, was the way his teammates were looking for him in a way that they don't normally. Normally, they're playing their offense, and they're looking for open shots, wherever it comes from. But in that game, his teammates recognized, we got to get the ball to this guy. And it was really cool to see.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, on several trips down the floor, and they got him the ball, but also the joy that they had when looking for him and him knocking down shots. Like, it wasn't like, you know, all right, Keegan, you hit a few, let's continue to run the offense. They recognized the hot hand, and they fed him, and they fed him. And so you like to see that, man. And Keegan's out there warming up right now. And you heard Mark Jones earlier talk about the assistant coach, Dutch, working out with him now. Man, I tell you, I'm expecting big things tonight. I think he looks the part right now. I mean, he got the body, the size, can shoot the ball. The sky's the limit for this guy. There's no reason why Keegan Murray can't average 18, 19 points per game this
year. I agree. By the way, Steph Curry last night, they won. The Warriors won last night in Portland. But Steph's streak of at least one three-pointer in a game ended after 268 games.
Unbelievable.
No threes for him last night. That streak, over!
I don't know
so
if that...
Keegan is just 267 games away from tying Steph Curry's all-time record.
I don't think that'll ever be touched, man. Because that also includes games which you play and maybe you get tweaked or hurt or something that you can't finish. Like, the dude... 268, was it?
268.
Unbelievable. I don't think that'll be touched. You know, first of all, and I know a lot of guys get it up, but you're talking about the best shooter in NBA history. And the fact that he's been durable during that span, been able to play those games and not leave early or anything like that. It reminds me of the LeBron James double-digit scoring streak. I don't know where it's like at. 1,000 now or something crazy. Those are kind of streaks that I don't think will be touched.
Another thing that stands out to me about that game on Saturday was, and I know we talked about this with Mark Jones earlier, no disrespect to Keegan. We know he's a tremendous player and he's got tremendous upside, but if I'm not mistaken, Kyle, when he came out of college, nobody said, this guy's going to be an elite three-point shooter. He was a very good three-point shooter. I looked at one of his scouting reports today, you know, and it said, three-level scorer who's especially potent in the post.
Yes.
Nobody predicted that he was going to be. And then last year he broke the record for threes by a rookie, and then he had 12. I don't think anybody saw that aspect of his game coming.
No, I don't think so. And his dad echoed that, right? He said he was more of a ball handler kind of guy. You know? Handled the rock, you know, a facilitator, if you will. And for him to be a sniper the way he is from three – I mean, that's what makes his game so scary. Like, what we saw last year from Keegan wasn't even his natural game, you know? That was just the role he was playing. And like his dad said, there's so much more to his game. He was just scratching the surface, and we're starting to see it right now. And I love this kid. I love watching him work out right now, and I think the sky's the limit. You know, we were talking about second-year players to score, you know, 47, let's say. I tracked it down. LeBron James, in his 62nd game in his second year, he scored 56.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first time. Man, he was only 20 years old. And so that's.
I bet he didn't make 12 threes.
Not that night. He made six threes. Wow, six threes. But I think in today's game, man, that's why I think Keegan, you know, the 47 – 25 should be doable. Like, if you get up enough threes, think about it. If you shoot
eight threes.
You're
going to be disappointed if he scores 19 tonight.
I know. I am, because I think we saw what this guy is capable of. And I know 47 is not doable every single night, but there's no way, and we talked about it before the season, he should be taking 15 to 18 shots a night in my book. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. But he's such an unselfish team player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like Mark Jones said, they don't really run a whole lot of plays.
They don't run plays for anybody. Right?
Exactly.
They just really don't.
You get it as it comes in the offense. And so it's funny because I had a conversation with my son about this yesterday, about basketball. And, you know, sometimes you got to go out there and get your own food. You can't always wait for somebody to feed you. So he was upset Saturday after playing his basketball game. He's like, man, I wish they would have passed me the ball more. I said, well, sometimes, son, when you do get the ball, you got to call your own number. And I think Keegan sometimes has to look at the advantages that he has and be aggressive. And hopefully we'll see that tonight.
We're going to take a brief timeout when we come back. Last Christmas is, I think it's Wham. It's a terrible, terrible song. But the Kings need to keep it in mind tonight. Tell you why when we return to the Golden 1 Center on Sacktown Sports. You know, we were discussing, Jay and I, on Friday briefly, Christmas songs that we really don't need. And Jay accused me of being a Grinch, and I get that. You know, this time of year, you don't need to be negative about Christmas. But we do need to have standards. There are some Christmas songs that we really don't need. We'd be better off without them. You know, we have the contraction. We need Christmas Carol contraction. Huh? We get rid of some of them. One of them is, I think it's Wham, Last Christmas. Last Christmas. It's a terrible song. But I think you'll agree, Kyle, the Kings need to keep that song in mind tonight. Because last Christmas, December 23rd of 2022, the Wizards came in here and they beat the Kings 125 to 111. What?
Maybe the worst loss of the season right there. You know, because the Wizards were lowly back then. No Brad Beal in that game. Did Porzingis play in that game?
Porzingis did play. He was 2 for 11.
Yeah, it wasn't even Porzingis that lit us up. And so, no, you're right about that, man. And that's why when we talk about trap games, if I'm Mike Brown, I'm showing them the film from last year so that they can get hungry and come out like dogs tonight and handle their business.
Kyle Kuzma had 32 for the Wizards on that night. Rui had 21.
Yeah.
And the Wizards also got 24 from Bradley Beal. So the guys that did a lot of the
Brad
damage.
Brad did play in
that
game.
Aren't even there. But Wizards last year, they put up a 40-point second quarter.
Wow.
For the Kings, Domas had 20, but he was 5 for 14. Fox had 26, 9 of 16. So just one of those nights where the defense fell apart. And Trey Lyles had a good game, by the way. But one of those, it's the NBA. It's not going to happen tonight. It can't happen tonight.
Yeah, and I don't want the Kings to get caught up in the Wizards' sloppiness, if you will, you know. The Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma.
Don't let them drag you down to their level tonight.
Right, exactly. Still play your team basketball. Don't get caught up in the one-on-one matchups or anything like that. It's not the park. It's not the playground. It's not 9th and Q here in downtown Sacramento. Play team basketball because I do think when you look at the Wizards, they have a tendency to resort to ISO basketball, one-on-one basketball. And so I think if you're Sacramento, don't fall into that. You know, don't try to go mano-a-mano. If Jordan Poole hits a good three-pointer over at you, don't try and match it on the other end. Still play your same game.
By the way, this is interesting. Harrison Barnes and Doug Christie are doing some work. Doug is guarding him, not full on, but he's giving a little bit of defense.
So resistance there?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Harrison, of course, he's playing well lately. But the thing is, the Wizards tonight, if they're going to have any chance, they're probably going to have one of those nights where everything they send in the general direction of the basket goes in. And it's kind of what happened last December. The Wizards made 49 of 88 shots. They shot 56%. That's one reason why they were able to beat the Kings here by 14. The Kings' defense back then was still a work in progress, it was not very good. And the Kings now apparently believe like their defense is definitely on the right track.
Yeah, when you look at the Kings' defense, you know, we said it, 14th in defensive rating. That might be the highest it's been, maybe 13th one time. You know, and I don't know, where do you think the improvement is coming from? Is it the perimeter guys are playing better? Is it, they're limiting paint touch? Like, are they defending the three better? I don't know. I don't know why their numbers.
I got a couple things to throw in there. One is I know their defensive rebounding had been really good, and that obviously helps.
Yeah.
But, and this obviously doesn't explain a leap of that size, but Keon Ellis makes a difference out there.
Yes. Keon Ellis. has been a huge addition.
On the perimeter, yeah.
And I said from the beginning, the guy deserves some time, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, after his game in Houston, I'm like, he has to be in the rotation.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember that, right? Yeah. No, but he's been – and the fact that he's scoring, too, now. Like, it's hard to keep him off the floor. Like, Davion, as much as, you know, I thought, no, there's no way. Like, Keon Ellis is not opening that door for Davion to come in and get those minutes back.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
But do you have any information or any idea where we are with De'Aaron Fox this evening?
No, still questionable. You know, I think he's going to come out here, do his warm-up. You know, and here's the thing. I don't think Mike Brown wants to tip his hand too early anyway. You know, they may know already and just haven't announced it. I would be shocked if he plays just because.
I would be surprised, yeah.
Yeah, give him another extra day, you know.
Uh-huh.
But De'Aaron's a gamer too, man. I think he wants to play. He wants to get out there. But you got Boston coming up on Wednesday. You don't want any kind of setback. You should be able to handle this team without De'Aaron, especially the way you played the other night. And so I would, you know, say that he probably isn't going to play tonight.
I wouldn't think so. But if I'm him, I'm saying the Wizards?
I might be.
I want to get 48.
Tonight,
yeah,
right?
I want to get my 50 burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Teams go off. Was it Joel Embiid? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that? Had, like, you know, 40 points against them. Like, teams go off because their defense, they offer no resistance. Their offense is actually solid, pretty decent. It's their defense where I think they're 29th in rating or 29th in points per game, something like that. And so you should be able to get what you want out here tonight.
Now, why do you think it is that De'Aaron Fox is still not getting the respect that we in Sacramento know he deserves when it comes to MVP discussions?
It's the most frustrating thing as a Kings fan right now, Kings fans, because we had our guy Glenn Consor on just a few minutes ago, Wizards analyst on radio. And he thinks De'Aaron Fox, he mentioned it, he's number 6 in scoring in the NBA. If De'Aaron Fox played the same way, put up these same numbers and played for the New York Knicks, come on, man. He would be up there, you know, on leading SportsCenter every single night. Stephen A. Smith would be talking about him every day. And for him to be disrespected the way he is by NBA.com, that's frustrating.
Let's see what we – yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead. No, I'm just
this
upset.
Is that. Basketball Reference 2023-24 NBA MVP Award Tracker.
Ooh, okay.
It ranks candidates based on a model built using previous voting results. Players must have played at least 70% of league-wide average for team games to qualify. So, according to this, top candidate right now with a 52% chance of being the MVP, Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Two, you got Jokic.
Yep, not wrong.
Three,
with that.
You got Shea.
Ooh.
Four, you got, and they got him at, you know, it drops off. It goes 52%, 20% Jokic, 7%. Okay. After Shea, they got Giannis fourth.
Okay.
Luka fifth.
All right.
Halliburton sixth.
Halliburton again.
Halliburton sixth. Then it goes Tyrese Maxey, Jason Tatum.
No way. No, you didn't say Maxey.
Damian Lillard.
You did not say Maxey.
Carl Anthony
Towns. You did not say Maxey.
That's what it says. Basketball Reference and their model.
Oh, my God.
Built using previous voting results.
What is going on in the world? What are we doing?
I'm sorry. I wanted you to hear
it. We love Basketball Reference. Like, we look at Basketball Reference for everything. And this is a model, though. This isn't, like, some objective or, you know.
It's not supposed to be a columnist.
Subjective
columnist.
Right. No, opinionated. Yeah. Yeah. This is a model they point at. And De'Aaron Fox isn't even on there?
Right. I think a lot of it is, A, the Kings are not a top seed right now. B, it's Sacramento, and people still consider us kind of a, you know, an outpost, a frontier outpost in the NBA.
Do you think they aren't aware of what he's doing? Or because it's in Sacramento, it doesn't carry as much weight to people?
I think both.
Right.
You know? And they're just we've seen that. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, the East Coast media, they're a little behind on what's actually going on with the Kings.
Yeah.
You know? They're a week and a half, 2 weeks behind on what actually is going on. It's a little better when they're on national TV more, but that's been a little while now.
It's and that's why if you're De'Aaron Fox, you just got to constantly keep doing it. Doing it night after night after night. And, you know, it's disrespectful. And I see you guys in the YouTube chat commenting about it. You're 100% right. This dude is sixth in the NBA in scoring. He leads a team that's top five in the Western Conference. Now, if the Kings were 3-20 or something, okay, I get it. But they're a winning team, too, you know? And so it's disrespectful. And you would think after last year, the fact that he was an all-star, that he earned all NBA honors, that people would be would stop sleeping on him. They would be aware. But the fact that Basketball referenced their formula, Tyrese Maxey?
I will say from past years, I don't know what their formula is, but I don't think it's very accurate.
Right.
I've checked that for a few years now. I was like, wait, what? So I don't know. I think Mike Brown right now, you know, he's really banging the drum post-game and in media scrums for Malik. I think he's more worried about Malik getting consideration for six man than he is about De'Aaron getting an MVP consideration.
Yeah, and you know, my thing is advocate for both, obviously, but he shouldn't have to advocate for De'Aaron Fox. Six man, I get it. Malik Monk, maybe you look at the box score or the stat sheet, oh, he's only averaging 14 points per game. Okay, you need your guy to – but he's sixth in the NBA in scoring. Mm-hmm. Like any basketball – writer, fan, if you're an NBA person that covers the, like, you should be aware of what De'Aaron Fox is doing. And the fact that, you know, he continues to get disrespected, it's upsetting. I'm happy he made third team all NBA because it's well deserved. You could argue he could be first team this year. You know, you could argue first or second team because he's having an even better season right now.
Like. One of the things that stood out to me Thursday about Coach Brown's post game, and not Saturday, but going back to Thursday when they beat OKC. Yeah. And Jay and I were talking about this Friday, but Mike Brown was talking about the numbers Fox put up. And he says, that's what he's supposed to do. Not saying that it doesn't count, but he said the same thing about Domas. He says, he has great games. That's what we need him to do. That's what we need Fox to do. You know, and that's what they're trying to impress upon him. I remember going back to last year, you did that. We need you to do that for a whole game. We need you to do that every game.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't seem fair, but that's the way this team is built, and that's the message Mike Brown wants them to understand. And I think Fox and Sabonis are like, all right, we get it. That's our job, is to be excellent every game. That's how this team wins.
Yes, and your stars got to be stars, right?
Yeah.
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 And so when De'Aaron goes off for 30, that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know? That's,
and he never really had to do that before. It was kind of a luxury before.
Right.
Now it's a necessity because you got a good team.
You got a good team, and you know, winning is more important now than ever before. And so, you know, it goes back to my point. De'Aaron Fox can do it every night. We're seeing it. Hopefully he gets to a point on this team where he doesn't have to. Where, you know, because when you look at the best teams in the league, and I'm going to take out Denver because I feel they're sort of in their own category with Jokic. But even when they're at their best, Jamal Murray goes off for 28, 29. Mm-hmm. Playoff Jamal Murray is
big. Yes.
Like, and so I want to see playoff Keegan Murray. I want to see Keegan Murray be that, you know, Robin to De'Aaron Fox's Batman.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, we see all this, and we've got young players on the floor, and you've got coaches out there. And the Wizards, they've got some coaches, and they just scrimmage their young players. And the coaches beat them 13-12. I've never seen the coaches beat them. So that
was that twos and ones or what? What was that?
That's the type of team the Kings are playing.
I was like, how'd you see that?
I know. I'm sorry. You gave
me that look. I gave you the look. Like, what?
Sorry.
No way. Were they keeping scores? So their coaches are better. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. But that's okay. The Wizards are on that long trek back towards NBA respectability. But the Kings have to take advantage. And again, don't forget about last Christmas, because that was a stunner.
That was a stunner. But if I'm Sacramento, because you got to respect the Wizards, sure, 4-21, but they do have two guys that can go off for 40. And so that's why you got to be locked in right from the opening tip. Don't let Kyle Kuzma come out here and drop 35-40. Don't let Jordan Poole get comfortable knocking down threes. Like, you got to be locked in defensively right from the get-go.
Yeah, and Poole is a lock for double-double, which is, you know, points and turnovers. Anyway, thanks for being with us. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
thank
stick around. Game night is next from the Golden One. Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.